It's yes. just like post Thanksgiving dinner, Mario.
Yes.
Just.
Ladies and gentlemen, my guest today is an actor and podcaster who is the co-host of Movies in the Buff, a podcast that is available on all major streaming platforms. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Brett Bolton, everybody! Brett, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I'm super excited.
I am super excited. No pun intended.
Yeah, super. I don't have a pun for you.
Well, today we are going to talk about IGN's greatest video game of all time. They just re-ranked the top 100 video games of all time.
That's impressive.
And this one got number one. And while I don't necessarily agree that it's the best of all time, if you compare it as a Beatles album to other games, I'd say you've got an argument there.
Yeah.
The game is Super Mario World.
You say those three words in that order together, and like the immediate flood of nostalgia and great gaming experience and what like got me into games comes back. This is the first game I ever played.
For me, this game... So first of all, let me give anybody that is not familiar with the game. Super Mario World is a 1990 side-scrolling platform game. This is straight off Wikipedia. Developed and published by Nintendo. This is for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. When the system first launched, Super Mario World came bundled in, if I'm not mistaken, almost across the board with the Super Nintendo.
Correct.
And I remember even the ad. I remember the ad for the game, where it was just all mashed together. And it was one of these things where they're just showing gameplay. But it was 16-bit graphics and 16-bit sound. And so everything is twice as good as even Super Mario Bros. 3, which is a great game.
Great game. Great game.
And the ad was, suddenly the sky is a little clearer. The water is a little bluer. The road's a little bumpier. The drums are harder. And it was just like down the... You can Google it. Look up Super Mario
World. Suddenly the clouds aren't bushes.
Yes. And suddenly the world is a more exciting place to be. Super Mario World. Only now on the Super Nintendo. And as a sixth grader, a chubby wimp sixth grader, this was all I wanted in life.
Yeah.
And I was very, very lucky. We did get it for Christmas. And I could not... I remember that specifically, that Christmas Eve, going to bed. My brother and I had bunk beds. We shared a room. And we both wanted Super Nintendo hard. We only had cable for about 6 or 9 months when I was a kid.
Okay.
But for that 6 months, there was a period of time where Family Channel... It may now be the Disney Channel. But there used to be a channel called the Family Channel.
And then it was ABC Family.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was... They were playing cartoons like all afternoon. And they had this thing where once a day, they would flash this little logo on the screen, like in the corner. And when that happened, you had to then call this number and you could win a Super Nintendo. And my brother and I sat in front of that television and we did this every single day trying to win a Super Nintendo. Never came close. I think we may have gotten through to somebody once or twice.
And they're like, sorry, you didn't win.
You are not the winner. And you're like, yeah. You're like 10 years old, 12 years old. Just
your day is ruined.
And I remember specifically that Christmas, like, just it was all we wanted, man.
Yeah.
It was all we wanted. And our folks actually came in at like 12:30, 12:45.
Wow.
And they were like, Do you guys want to come out and have Christmas now? We were like, yeah. We ran out and we had it. And just this, like, and it's such a spoiled first world thing. but this sense of relief, like, tomorrow I will get to enjoy this thing that I've been looking forward to. When you're a kid, 3 or 4 months is an eternity.
Oh, my God.
I was looking forward to it so hard.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, I'm not going to argue. It's, in my opinion, if anybody out there is familiar with the Beatles.
Heard of them.
Sure. But, I mean, if you're familiar with their albums, right? Let's say Super Mario Odyssey is Abbey Road.
Yeah.
And let's say that Super Mario 64 is Sgt. Pepper's.
Yeah, Sgt. Pepper's probably.
Sure. I would argue that Super Mario World is Revolver.
Yeah.
Just tight.
Yeah.
Perfect. Try to find something wrong with it. I don't think you'll be able to.
Yeah. It is nearly flawless, if not flawless.
While I don't think it is the best video game of all time, just on sheer, like, you know, like World of Warcraft, even though I like Super Mario World, World of Warcraft hosts millions of people every day. I find it hard to compare that game with this game.
I agree. I think it's like comparing athletes from different eras, right? Like, you can't – is Michael Jordan better – or is LeBron James better than Michael Jordan, and are they both better than Bill Russell?
Right.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Like
– but there are too many factors.
But they're playing different games at this point.
Right.
Basketball when Bill Russell played was not basketball what it is now, and what LeBron James is playing is not the same game that Michael Jordan played.
No.
And so that's how I've always, as far as like Super Nintendo and that era of console goes, you know, you think about Sega Genesis, and I'm forgetting,
TurboGrafx 16.
Yeah. That kind of stuff. Right. Yeah. This is, I think, man, it's hard because I have some really deep love for a couple other Super Nintendo games.
Myself included.
Yeah. Mainly, I'm a huge Zelda guy.
Me too.
And so Link to the Past is always going to be just a touch ahead of me, a touch ahead of Super Mario World for me, I think. But it really, I mean, it is what, it is everything you want a platformer to be.
Everything.
For a console of that time to have the controls be so tight, where there's no pixel drift, there's nothing. Like, it is smooth, tight, and even the things you're like, oh, that shouldn't work that way. Fine, but it's consistent through the whole game. You know, you can stand and get hit by half a fireball but not take any damage because that's just how the game's coded.
Yes.
You know?
That's the one thing about this game, and I heard somebody say it, if anybody out there has ever played Super Meat Boy. Super Meat Boy is it's probably made 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Super tight platforming game, although a million times harder than Super Mario.
Yes.
World. Impossibly difficult.
Oh, my God, yes.
But I love that game, but I remember reading a review about it, and they were saying, once you get good at it and you kind of master it, Super Meat Boy, you never feel cheated in the game.
Yeah.
You never feel like, that's bullshit. The game robbed me right there.
Right.
I think the same thing about Super Mario World.
Entirely.
If you died, you died because you got caught.
You're like, yeah, I missed the ledge. Yeah, I ran into the cactus guy.
Right.
Yeah, I got hit by a fucking hammer again.
Again, yes. And it may be frustrating, but you never feel like the game took one from you. At least I don't.
Right.
Every once in a, you know, once in every 300 games, there'll be a glitch.
Yeah.
I know we both replayed this on Switch.
Right, no, on the virtual console, right?
Yes. And I did actually have one just today, earlier, where I got killed, and it was a bullshit kill where, like, it was a glitch.
Yeah.
That's probably happened. I've probably played this game for hundreds of hours in my life, and it's probably happened 3 times.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, likely twice.
Yeah. So my story getting this game was kind of similar. I'm just a couple years younger than you are.
Why don't you brag about it for a while?
Well, I was trying to. I'm trying to give context, right?
No, I know.
So
I know.
Like,
my Nintendo years were your Super Nintendo years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this, you know, this system came out in what, 90?
90, I believe.
And I think we got ours in 92 at the holidays, at Christmas. and I was five. I do not have an older sibling. But my dad went to college in the late 70s. And so he was a big arcade guy, mm-hmm. and would like go to the arcade and have a, you know, have a drink or whatever and play arcade games. He'd, you know, he'd play Galaga or, he'd played everything.
Sure. Centipede, Galaga, yes, yeah, Donkey Kong,
Asteroids, like all of that kind of stuff. And so the Super Nintendo came out, and at that point in time, we didn't have cable, and I think we might have actually had only a black and white TV that my parents watched news on. But once my dad got word of the existence of Super Nintendo and what that could mean, Mysteriously, Super Nintendo arrived in my home.
Yes.
And so my dad and I, you know, I was five. My dad and I would play the game, and we'd play the two-player, take turns with Mario and Luigi. My dad's terrible at the game, but he was better than a five-year-old.
Sure.
and you
sit in awe.
You're right.
Watching and, how far this person gets in front of
you. And
you
would sit, you know, in front of the 13-inch, you know, tube television, and try to figure out how to beat that level, you know, whatever that level was. And over the course of, I'm not kidding, like 3 or 4 years, we finally got to the end.
Yes.
And got to Bowser or whatever. And I, as a child, would play through all of Bowser's Castle, but then hand the controller to my dad to try to beat Bowser. I was too scared.
Okay, I get that.
The music was terrifying. The animation was scary.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, that particular motion where you have to bop the Goomba or the wind-up.
It's like a wind-up Koopa.
Yeah.
It's like a wind-up Bowser almost.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to like bop him, pick him up, and kick him.
Yes.
So that he lands while Bowser passes.
Right.
I just could not figure it out.
Sure.
And I got so frustrated and so scared. Have the controller, Dad. And he didn't want to play it because he was terrible and couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So this game holds and it really is the game that got me into like, oh, this is really cool. This is fun.
Yes. That's one thing about this game is it is limitlessly fun.
You can play levels over and over and over again. You know exactly where to jump, but it's still so satisfying.
The thing about this game, first of all, is just how tight... You were talking about how tight the controls are, which is true. But there is no wasted space in this game.
No.
Zero. Even from the intro of the game, you turn it on and you get the little Nintendo Presents.
Yep.
You get the little coin sound. And then you get the intro with the music. Da 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 da. Super Mario and you basically get a cinematic that is also a tutorial.
Yep.
Because in this game, in other Mario games, you know, it started Mario 2 was like a deviation where
Mario 2 is weird.
Mario 2 I still love, but it's also if you Google it, it's bullshit. It's not really a Mario game.
No, it's they changed the animation.
They took a game called Tokidoki Panic. They pulled all of the characters out of it and inserted Mario characters.
Yep.
That's the real story of Super Mario Brothers 2 in America.
And it's why it feels so weird.
Yes. And it's because the original Super Mario Brothers 2, which you could get on Super Nintendo, on Super Mario All-Stars, that game was called Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels. And it was impossibly difficult.
Yes.
I did finish it as a kid, but like it was so hard.
Yes.
Nintendo thought that would be too difficult, so they released Super Mario Brothers 2. Or in Japan, it's called Super Mario Brothers America, which is the one with, you know, and it's kind of cool because years later, generations later, Super Mario, the franchise, draws from that still.
Yeah.
But that's not initially, that game was not initially a Mario game. Each Mario game introduced more stuff. In the original Mario Brothers, you had a mushroom, you had a springboard, you had a fire flower that would let you shoot fire, and you had Starman.
Right.
That was the limit of your powers. In Super Mario Brothers 2, the game was a little different. You could get more health.
Right.
You could also get a star.
There were some different like throwables and things, too, that you could grab.
Yeah, you could pull vegetables out of the ground and throw them at people. You could pull a POW block, like in the original Mario Brothers in the arcade. You could pull a shell out of the ground and throw that, like in a, you know, you could do all these other things. Mario 3, they introduced the element of Raccoon Mario. You could fly.
Yep.
You could do Tanuki Mario, which was really weird.
Right, the Tanuki suit.
And you could turn into a statue. You could be Frog Mario in Mario 3.
Yep.
You could swim faster. Yep. Hammer Brother Mario, which I thought was rad as fuck. Because those Hammer Brothers were always dicks.
Yeah, they're
so impossibly
every
difficult.
Time you saw one, you're just like, oh,
you
God.
Could, I remember my hands sweating. But you could get that suit and like shield. Anyway, you get to Mario World, and now you have the Fire Flower again, which I almost always pass up.
Yeah, me too.
You have the Mushroom, the Fire Flower, Starman. You have the Feather, which gives you the cape.
The cape.
Which, to this day, I think is the best Mario power-up they've ever made.
Absolutely.
It's just Super Mario with a yellow cape.
The flying mechanic works so well, too.
Because you can actually fly.
Right.
In the other Mario games, when you fly, you can fly for a brief time and then float down.
Yeah.
In this game, when you have the cape, you can fly, and then if you do it right, you can continue to fly through the stage.
For a really long time. Until you hit
something or mess up your rhythm.
Your control, yeah.
But you also have in this game a pee balloon.
Yep.
Which is not a water balloon filled with pee like Michael Scott in The Office. This is a... It's a balloon with the letter P on it, and it just inflates
you. It puffs you up.
And you can float across the stage until it runs out.
Right.
But even in this game, little things. They have a spin jump.
We also have... Okay, are you going
to... We're going to get to Yoshi.
Okay.
Yeah. You have a spin jump, which it's Mario jumps up and down and he spins. And if he's got the fire flower, he'll shoot the fire. He'll swing the cape around if he's got the cape. He'll also pounce and break through certain blocks. But you also have Yoshi.
For the longest, real quick, sorry. For the longest time, that was the only way my dad could figure out how to jump.
Spin jump?
Yes.
Wow.
And... As you know, 5 or 7 year old or whatever I was at the time, like just watching him do that was so frustrating. You're just like, just can you just not press the other? Just oh, come on!
I'm sitting here and I'm frustrated for 5 year old you.
Because you
when you told me
just...
when you were like, it took us like 3 to 4 years to beat it. I'm like, all right, you're five. But I was in sixth grade, and I beat it before New Year's.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
I mean, we were also playing like and, one day a week or whatever.
And your dad had a job and stuff, sure. But yeah, there you go. There's 101. If he's doing only the spin jump, that's not going to get you very far.
My mom told me, after I was an adult, they're divorced now, but my mom told me that he would stay up and practice.
What's sad is I just see your dad like on like this mashup in my brain, just like continually spin jumping, like
it's not wrong.
Short jump it's into not... a long hole, like he's trying to get across this chasm, and he's just spin jumping over and
the
over.
The first time he discovered the pipe in Donut Plains 1, where you go into the coin, it's the first time you get the cape in the game. You know, it's the fifth level of the game. And you get the cape for the first time.
Donut Plains 1.
Donut Plains 1. And you go down one of the first green pipes, and you come in. You have to run up the triangle up the pipes, and then you run off the top of the pipes, and it's just coins for days.
Yes.
Coins for days. He couldn't do it. He would get up there, he would figure out how to run, and then he would hit the wrong jump button, and Mario would just spin off the end and float down. Oh, man.
Poor dad.
But yes, we do get Yoshi, of course.
You get Yoshi.
Who changes the gameplay.
Who changes the gameplay, changes everything, because what's so cool about it is the dynamic with Yoshi is irrelevant based on what power you already have. Whether you're original Mario, Super Mario, Cape Mario, Fire Flower Mario, even Starman Mario, if you're on Yoshi, whether you get hit or not, Yoshi just runs away, and you can go and like get him back.
Right.
But that dynamic of being able to just like eat enemies.
Yep.
Also, I don't know how many times you had to do it in the game where you have to sacrifice Yoshi to jump to safety, where you just jump off of this.
Where you just run and fly and...
You're basically on the back of a smiling, friendly, round-faced raptor, more or less. He's he's a bipedal dinosaur that you sit on the back of in like a saddle. Yeah. It's like, hi, I'm Yoshi. I'm going to save your ass 30 times this stage alone. Because even when you get hit on Yoshi, you don't get hurt. He just runs away.
Right.
So it's like an extra bonus.
Like it's a bonus hit.
Yeah. The other thing that this game does that previous games did not, you could get two power-ups at once.
Right.
You had this basically this wallet at the top of the screen where if you picked up say you have a cape and then you see a fire flower and you grab the fire flower.
Yeah.
Now you're Fire Flower Mario, but your cape is in your wallet at the top. And if you get hit, the cape will just go do-do-do-do-do, and it falls out, and it floats down, and you can grab it. If you miss it, you miss it.
Right.
But you can get it back. And the game is, even with all of these power-ups built in, and that's the thing I think about. Sometimes I get caught up in the idea that there are so many coins in the game, and there are so many ways to exploit extra lives
over
and over and over.
I remember so many times just racking up 99 lives.
Yeah, you can just play with 99 lives. But the thing is, if you did not have these bonus things, if you did not have these replayable – like, the game would be infinitely hard.
Oh, yeah. If you didn't have start select, if you didn't have –
Yeah, it's – even with the double power-ups and the secret areas where you can get 100 lives or whatever, it's still super tough.
Yeah, it really is.
There are some stages that you blow through. They're smooth and like a country road. And then others where you're like, son of a... I'm almost 40, and I was playing this, still dying over and over at the same spot. With the same stupid charging chucks throwing baseballs.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my word. Charging chuck.
The baseballs from Charging Chuck and the hammers from... are they still Hammer Bros?
Are you talking about the Hammer Brother that's on the two block flying?
Yeah. Yes. With the two cement blocks with the wings.
So frustrating. But this game, too, what I remember thinking was so cool was when you start the game, the first thing you do is you land on a world map. And you're at Yoshi's house.
Yep.
And there's a little speaker box you can hit that's like, I'm Yoshi, I'm gone for the day or whatever.
Right.
And then you start playing through the game and you unlock these switches.
Yeah, that was always fun.
So all of a sudden, the first one's pretty easy. You beat stage one and the map opens up and you can go to the Switch Palace.
Right.
And what it does is, in the game, if you've never played it, there are a bunch of dotted line blocks throughout the game of all different colors.
Yep.
Blue, red, green, and yellow.
Correct.
When you hit the Switch Palace, if you get to the end and you hit the Switch, which the Switch Palaces are so easy.
Yeah.
They're almost bonus stages.
Right.
But when you get to them, it changes for that color switch. It changes all of the, for instance, the first one is the dotted yellow line.
Yep.
It changes all of the dotted yellow line blocks to solid yellow blocks. What's also cool is for the yellow blocks and the green blocks, there's a power-up built in.
Right.
So if you see a yellow exclamation block, which will produce a mushroom every time you hit one. If you get the green one, it's a feather every time.
Which are conspicuously placed in certain levels.
Certainly.
Because before you get to the green switch palace, you like... run by, I'm thinking specifically in like Vanilla Dome, there's a level where you run by a couple areas where there are the green outlines. You're like, man, it would be really great if I had a feather right now so that I could avoid this fucking lava monster.
Yes.
You know, or whatever it is. Because the cape, not only does it allow you to fly, but it allows you to float.
It does. And you can really do a much better job controlling your jumps.
Yep.
And it also gives you, and it's a thing that I used to forget about all the time, it gives you a weapon.
Right.
You can swing the cape and hit enemies near you. Not all of them, but some of them.
Right.
One of the things this game also does is it introduces mini fortresses.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, we didn't even touch on the music in this game, which is, of the Mario series, arguably one of the best.
Yeah, I mean...
Everything's catchy. Everything fits. I love it. I was listening to the mini fort music and the fortress music. So like every stage, there's a world map. Every stage ends with a castle where you have to defeat one of Bowser's children. But there's also there were also mini fortresses in some of the levels.
Right.
The music for all of them is the same.
Right.
But it is, to me, my favorite fortress music in any Mario
game. I agree.
Best.
I agree.
It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the only thing that is even moderately impeachable about this game is that the mini fortress bosses and that the bosses from the Koopa Children, one, the mini fortress boss is the same every time.
Every time. Reznor.
Reznor. He's, you know, a triceratops that's on a, four triceratops that are on this like rotating spindle.
Yeah.
And you got to boop them off.
Before
the floor.
Yeah, before the floor bottoms out from under you.
Or they hit you with a fireball.
Yeah.
And then some of Bowser's children share like a level stage in their dungeons.
And some of them share a boss format.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
So like some of the dungeons are identical. Not identical, but there are two of the dungeons where you're on a moving elevator that's like a caterpillar effect where it's like and you've got to follow this elevator as it moves. It like climbs its way through this big open space where if you fall off, there's no hope for you.
Yeah, you're dead.
And then there are seven castles.
Yep.
There are basically four formulas for the bosses.
Right.
There's one where the boss is on a floating island in lava and you have to stomp them and send them off the edge.
Yep.
But the island is tilting back and
forth.
Like a
boat, kind of.
Yes. So as it rocks one way, if you stomp them, they'll go to the low end. But then it rocks the other way. So if you stomp them again, they'll go back to the other low end. That's two of them. There's another one where there's a pipe sequence where they're all in pipes and they stick their heads out, but there are two dummies as well.
Right.
And you have to stomp them. That's another two of them.
Yep.
There's also another, what's the other one?
There's the one where they run on the walls.
There's that one. So Roy Koopa and Martin Koopa Jr.
Yep.
They do the ones where they climb up the walls and then try to stomp you from above.
Right, yeah, kind of like a swamp. Yeah.
And the thing is, as you play through the game, the first three are easier versions of the later ones.
Right.
So for instance, the one where they climb the walls, and the second one with Roy Koopa, the walls are closing in on you as it happens.
Right.
And then the only one that's unique is Ludwig von Koopa in stage four, where he kind of does a Super Mario 3 Bowser, where he breathes fire at you.
Yes.
But then he also turns into a shell and dashes back
and
forth.
And tries to knock you up. Yep.
Yeah.
But not knock you up, but knock you off.
Those musicians, man. Always looking for a piece.
Terrible.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Terrible.
But the overall, the music, the bosses, the dungeons, everything, yes, you're right. The mini boss is the same in every stage. The boss formula gets repeated twice or three times, but each time it's harder.
And that's the only complaint I would ever have about the game. Because the level design doesn't do that. Every level is unique and they all have their own set of challenges. And like, I love the way the themes work in this game too, where you have like a group of levels that are in Vanilla Dome that are all very similar. And then a group in the forest,
Forest of Illusion.
That are all similar. And then the cookie, I can't remember. Chocolate Island. Chocolate Island.
Mm-hmm.
That are very similar and share a group of enemies and things like that.
It's funny because each world, quote unquote, has its own theme.
Yeah.
Like kind of level one's kind of grass plains.
Right.
Level two is kind of the same thing, but a little dialed up. There's some caves and there are some other challenges.
Right.
Level two, you also get the first ghost house.
Oh,
sure. There are two ghost houses.
Right, yeah.
Which is another thing in the game where ghost houses are very cool because they're a type of fort almost.
Right.
They're, you know, sometimes they have a boss, sometimes they don't. But many times the ghost house has multiple exits.
Right. And in fact, almost, I actually think all of them do.
Yeah, and it's based on which way you beat it, which way you exit the course, is which next level opens up for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then level three, like you said, Vanilla Dome.
Yep.
The only one that's not its own level, really, is level four.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough.
Where you have a couple of those bridge levels.
Yeah.
Like if you go, and there's a water level. There's like a lake level. And
if you go the standard route and you don't find any secrets, level four is, I think, two stages.
Right.
If you find some secrets, I think it's five stages.
Right.
Because you go, if you go out the main door after you beat level three, Vanilla Dome.
So, yep, out the, yep.
I think there's one bridge stage, and then there's one Cookie Mountain stage.
Yep, you're right.
And then you go to the castle.
And then you go to the castle.
If you are in Vanilla Dome and you go out the secret way, you get Vanilla Secret 1 and 2.
Yep.
Then you get a mini fort.
Yep.
Then you get two Butter Bridge.
Yep.
Then you get the fortress for level four.
Right.
So,
and then there's one more, too. There's the secret exit
Soda Lake.
Off of, yep.
Soda Lake, which I remember distinctly finishing the game.
That was the last level I ever found.
Do you know what's funny? I have always had a memory where I'm very, especially as I've gotten older, I used to be great with names, terrible with names, but I'm great with images, especially faces. And I remember distinctly on the ad there being an underwater level with this like augmented bullet bill.
Yeah.
And I remember finishing the game like, what the fuck? Where is that?
They take it out?
Bullet
yeah.
bill? Where is it? And it turns out Torpedo Ted,
yep.
only appears in one stage in the game, and that's Soda Lake.
Yeah.
Which is a, you have to find the secret exit in level four on, I think it's the Cookie Bridge.
Yes, I think that's right.
You go from Cookie Bridge into the lake.
Yeah, a vine grows.
Yes.
Yeah, or
you
drops
go down,
down.
Into the lake, and then you can beat Soda Lake, and then the Soda Lake takes you to Star Road.
Right.
One of the cool,
it's the first time it happens.
Yeah.
You can't replicate it.
And you're confused.
Right.
You're like, what the fuck is this?
So, yes, yeah. my discovery of Star Road happened with Vanilla Dome. Because you come into Vanilla Dome, you play Vanilla Dome 1, and the exit, the secret exit, is actually not very secret at all.
No.
And it just like kind of, you're like, well, that was, why am I going this way now? I want to go over there towards the castle. And then they bring you up, and then you beat that level, which is an ice level, I think.
Might be. I forget.
Yeah, I do too. And that has a secret exit. To Star Road, which is actually the second entrance to Star Road.
Yes.
There's
one on Donut Plains.
There's one on Donut Plains, but it's a little bit harder to find. And that was the first, when that popped up for the first time, I remember as a kid being like, what is this? And then you zoom away and you end up on Star Road and do 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 do
do do do do. It's just so fun.
Yeah, and I think that's the one that takes you to the one where you have to spin jump all the way down through the yellow bricks.
I think so.
Is that right, or is that the one in Donut Plains?
The one which are you at? The one in Donut Plains that takes you to Star Road is a ghost house. It's a hidden ghost house.
Right.
It's not on the A, B, C, D, E, F path.
No, it's the
you've
one
gotta go
where
into
you,
the lake and then
you beat Donut out, Plains 1 into the lake and then down.
Come out the side. Right. Yep. And that'll take you to the ghost house, which will lead you to Star Road.
Right.
The one in Vanilla Dome, like you're talking about, you go, like you said, you beat the first stage,
you go
to
the
left.
Left.
You beat that, you go to the left, and there's
yep.
Star Road.
Yep.
And Star in Road is
event.
Cool
yeah.
because it shows you, first of all, you get baby Yoshis.
Yes.
And when you find them, they you know normally you hit a block, Yoshi pops out.
Full grown
egg.
Yoshi, yeah.
Full grown Yoshi right away. You grab them and you jump on them and you can ride them. The baby Yoshis, which are either blue, red, or yellow.
Yep.
They all have different powers.
Powers, yeah.
So like first they're babies. You have to feed them five items: shells, enemies,
coins,
certain
coins, the silver coins, yeah.
Blocks, you name it. If you can get them fed, they'll turn into a full-grown adult Yoshi, and each one has a different power. And the thing that's cool about the game is, for each Yoshi, no matter which Yoshi you are, if you eat a red shell, when you spit it out, you spit fire. When you eat a blue shell, it will allow you to fly until that you swallow the shell. If you eat a yellow shell, it will allow you to, when you land on the ground after a jump, you'll produce a puff of,
it's like impact, yeah.
Yeah, like an impact.
Shake the ground.
Exactly. Like an explosive pig pen from Charlie Brown. And then the green shells are just duds. They're just regular shells. But the thing is if you're red Yoshi, every shell you spit, you'll still get the effects from each shell. But with red Yoshi, every shell you spit spits fire.
Right.
With blue Yoshi, every shell you have, you can fly. Yellow Yoshi, every shell you have, you can do the pound move.
Right.
So on Star Road, that's where you first – it's and if I'm not mistaken, the only place you find these Yoshis.
That is my yes, yeah.
So you can go and get the – and what's one of my favorite things about this is that the blue Yoshi is, I think, the second Star Road stage, the one you're talking about at Vanilla Dome.
Yeah.
And that one, when you start the stage, a star just falls into the screen.
Yep.
And if you move quickly enough, the Yoshi will hatch. And without you having to eat five enemies, the Yoshi will become full-grown blue Yoshi.
Right.
And I always thought that was the coolest. Yes. Like, oh, just all you need is a star. You don't need to get five.
Right.
But if you then beat Star Road all the way through to its completion, and each stage has two exits, you can cut the tape, or you can find, like every stage in Mario virtually, with the exception of Bowser's Underground Sunken Ghost Ship, every stage either has a boss or cut the tape.
Right.
The ghost ship is the only one where you get a question mark, like in Mario 3.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But you, if you beat Star Road, you either cut the tape or you get the secret entrance. When you get all of them in the middle of Star Road, which is a giant star, there's a little cloudy, white, puffy hill.
Yeah.
And you'll get a star right in the middle. And if you jump on that star, it teleports you
to a second bonus zone,
which is so mind-blowing as a kid, because you're already playing this game, which is at least twice as good as the prior game.
And huge.
Humongous.
Huge. Even by today's standards, it's still a pretty big game.
If this game had not existed and came out today, it would get a giant score.
Yeah.
It's amazingly good. So you get to the end of Star Road, you get the secret exit to Star Road, and now you land in a new world where there's just like this upbeat, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like this dance beat. And it's just a flashing world map.
It's almost like the Sex and the City theme.
Yes. It's just jet black. And in the background, in all shiny kind of rhinestone letters, it just says special.
And the levels are gnarly and tubular.
Awesome and groovy.
Mondo.
And you think, as a kid, as a 12-year-old kid, you're like, this devil level's name is Tubular. That's hilarious.
That's
Look,
awesome.
I remember calling my parents and you couldn't give a fuck less.
Right.
But like calling them and be like, this is awesome. This. And they're like, oh,
I got
wow.
you
this
special
like,
level.
You don't appreciate anything. But those levels, we were just discussing this briefly before the podcast, because we both replayed the game except for the special zones.
Yeah.
Which I had just about 2 months ago replayed Mario World.
Yeah.
And I had gone through the special zones. There are 8 stages. They are one of them in particular, the second one, Tubular.
Yeah.
Is
punishingly
difficult.
Impossibly
difficult. It's the whole stage basically consists of you jumping on a few pipes with big open gaps in the middle, and then you have to springboard to a block, which releases a pea balloon. You have to then springboard to catch the pea balloon, which the trajectory makes you pull way down. Then you have to float up past a charging Chuck throwing baseballs, and then you have to float
the
entire
whole
stage
way.
While plants that spit fire, charging Chucks throwing baseballs, I think they're charging Chucks kicking footballs. All of these characters are just shooting at you. And
everything that you've hated to this game is in this level.
And you have no mobility.
No.
This thing sucks. And it's deliberately
right.
like
it's
this.
It's just like post-Thanksgiving dinner Mario.
Yes.
Just
exactly.
Just like literally floating through space.
And you're constantly pulling against him because he's constantly trying to float up. So if you're, like, moving forward, you kind of have to, like, work against the pull of the character a little bit. And the whole stage is just you getting under enemies, punching the next block as you float, and catching another pea balloon all the way to the end of the stage. It is so – I must have played it 50 times.
Yeah.
to get through it.
Me too.
And
I think as a kid, I might have given up and come back to it in like a year.
It was so frustrating. And the thing is, all of the stages, they each have varying difficulty. In my opinion, Tubular is the hardest one.
I agree.
For sure. But what's great is you get to the end of the special zone. And I think the last one is Way Cool.
I think that's right.
Might be, because it's, I don't know them in order, but it's like Gnarly, Tubular, Awesome, Way Cool, Groovy.
Mondo.
And there were two others. Maybe Radical's one. I don't know.
Radical's definitely one. Yeah, I don't know.
And then there's one other. When you get to the end of the last one, the eighth one, which is an outdoor kind of platforming stage. Not a lot of crazy jumps, not a lot of stuff, just a lot of enemies, a lot of dodging attacks.
Yep.
But when you get to the end, you're just on this straightaway.
Yeah.
And you're running. And as you run through it, spelled out in coins that you're like running and jumping and getting at the same time, it says, "You are a super player," with all the exclamation points. And I remember thinking, like, that was the raddest shit. And you get to the end, and it takes you out the other side of special, and you basically get the entire world map back, and the whole game is the same game, except that now it's got a new coat of paint.
Yeah, the color's different.
The colors are different. The enemies are the same, but look different.
Right.
That's basically the whole difference.
Right.
The piranha plants are now like jack-o'-lanterns.
You're right.
The Koopas all wear Mario masks instead of shells. I forget. There are several.
Yeah, there's a couple different things. I can't quite remember.
And the coloration of the maps are all different. But it's almost like kind of depressing. Like,
it's kind of bleak.
I miss the bright colors of Mario World. I don't know what the hell this dystopian future is. But it's so good.
Yeah.
So we spoke all the way up to Cookie Mountain, level 4. You get into level 5, Forest of Illusion.
Yes.
Which is also an awesome...
Dude.
Area.
Forest of Illusion 1.
Yes.
That whenever, if you had a long playthrough and you're like, I'm running out of lives, that's the level I go back to get lives.
Okay.
Because you can, about halfway through the level, actually not quite halfway through because you don't hit the tag yet, but there's one of the white item boxes, right? That rotates. It's like mushroom, flower, cape, star.
It's like a window.
And if you hit the star and get the star and you jump and run through the whole way across the top, this is before you get the pea balloon or can get the pea balloon to take the secret exit. Run across all the way this top. And if you hit every enemy without getting stuck on a ledge or anything like that, you can get 23 lives.
Oh my God.
In the run through.
I did not know that. See, what's funny is I like to milk certain areas for extra lives in a different way. Like in, I believe it's Ludwig's Castle, Castle 4.
Okay.
When you climb on the fences, that's another thing in this game.
Oh, yeah. That.
When you climb on the fences in the game, it's only in the dungeons, you can climb on them and then you can punch them at certain points where there's a window and you can spin the other, and you can come around the other side.
Yeah.
And you can kind of punch the enemies in the other side, or you can come down on top of them and
boop,
stomp them. But as you know in the game, if you hit, like, I think it's 8 or 9 stomps in a row, you get an extra life. And every one you hit after that is another extra life. So if you stomp 8 or 9 turtles, there's like 25 turtles in that area.
Oh, wow.
You can just run through and stomp
Yeah.
8 or 10 of them extra. So, yeah, you'll die, but you've just got 9 extra lives or whatever. So I used to milk that part.
Gotcha.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I never knew that about
Because
Force
the
of Caterpillar,
the caterpillar, you run through, and like all of the enemies are coming out of the little yellow wooden blocks.
Yes.
And and you just go pop, pop, it's pop, just pop, fodder. Pop, 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 pop.
That's
and
a
you
good
get a
call.
Couple of the caterpillars, which are worth 3, I think.
Oh, they are?
So, or if you hit like 3 of them in a row, then that one's worth 3.
Wow.
It's great. You can really rack it up.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
That is interesting. Forest of Illusion is cool because it's deliberately screwed up where you have to find hidden exits.
The secret exits. Otherwise, you just go in a loop.
Exactly. Yeah. In almost every stage, which I really thought was cool. One thing we did not talk about is how the world map, the game follows this A, B, C, D, E, F, G trajectory. But the cool thing about the map is you can see a lot of the hidden stuff.
Yeah.
So you're like, how do I get to that fortress? How do I get to this hidden stage? And there are other cool things which, for instance, in Donut Plains, which is level 2, or in Chocolate Island, which is level 6, there is a secret stage in both of them where you go through a pipe. And while you're in the pipe, there's one stage to beat.
Yep.
But you're actually on the level 7 map, which shows you Bowser's Castle.
Bowser's Castle with the...
that, like, Metallica bass line. And it's got the... What I love is that it has a giant neon sign that says Bowser.
They're like fireworks going on. I know. Like flashing lights.
So with Forest of Illusion in particular, there's the... When you come out of it... You see on the edge of it is the mini fort, which will take you to Star Road.
Right.
But I remember not the first playthrough, not knowing how to get that
one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how the. I know it's there. How do I get out there?
It's, yeah.
Yeah. And that feeling of discovering that secret where you're like, this. Oh my gosh, this is how you get there.
Yes.
Or where is this going to lead? Because I didn't see this level before. Like the first time I found the secret entrance on Cookie Bridge or whatever it is down into Soda Lake.
Yes.
I was just like, what? What?
Yes.
What?
And it's so exciting.
Yes.
You get so excited about it.
It's one of the best parts about this game.
And Forest of Illusion is basically every stage is like that.
Yeah.
Because on the world map, they have yellow levels or red levels. A yellow level, if it's small, it means this is normally a small level, but you can exit one way. If it's a big yellow dot, it means it's a big level, but you also get out one way.
Right.
Any red dots, whether they're big or small, which indicates the size of the stage, I believe, red levels mean there's more than one exit. And with a ghost house, there's more than one exit.
Right.
Basically on all of them, I think. And there's, on Forest of Illusion, if I'm not mistaken, every stage is multiple exits. I think it might be the only stage in the game that's like that. Because the first one's a big red dot, the second one's a red dot, the last one's the only...
The last one I don't think is...
Well, here's the thing. The last one is still a red dot because you can beat the stage and go nowhere.
Right. It just leaves you there.
You have to find the secret exit to get out of the forest.
Right. It's not the tape, the ticker tape, or the cut tape isn't even real.
And the thing is, there are a few where you get out where it just opens up a blank path that takes you back instead of forward.
So frustrating.
Yeah.
And then, I remember as a kid... You would beat it, and it would be the blank path. You're like, oh, that's frustrating. I'm just going to go play another level. And then you come back the next day, and you're like, is this how you beat it? And then you beat it the same way again, and still the goddamn blank path. And you're just like, I hate this game.
Yeah.
This is so tough. Why? I just want to go to this one place. Let me go there.
Yes. And you finally figure it out, and you're so happy to get out. And then you get to Cookie Island, where there are a lot of like fire-breathing rhinos.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are some stages. There's one stage in particular on Cookie Island where you beat it and it just makes it clears a new path and you're like, yay. And the path is literally a loop back to the same stage.
Yes.
Very frustrating.
Yes.
But Cookie Island is, it's weird. It's kind of one of the larger areas of the game, but also I don't remember a ton about it.
No, I remember the first level because it's on that little island by itself.
That's green.
Because when
right instead of brown.
Yeah.
I think it's the only green island in the whole stage.
The reason I remember it is because when you beat Castle 5, that island schnooks up against it.
Yes.
So that you can cross.
To Cookie Island, yes.
To Cookie Island.
Chocolate Island, sorry.
Chocolate Island,
we've been calling it Cookie,
Chocolate Island. And that's also the first level that the dinosaurs get introduced.
Yes.
And that's why I remember that. But yeah, other than that, I remember one level where you have to, I think it's the one that takes you in the circle. You have to beat a certain screen in a certain amount of time.
I think that is.
Or is that the one
stage
that takes you to the pipe?
I think the one you're talking about beating it in a certain amount of time is the one right before that.
Oh, okay.
And I think you have to beat the first screen in a certain amount of time, then you have to beat the second screen in a certain amount of time. And if you do so, it takes you to the final screen where the only way out is through the secret exit key.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Right.
But Chocolate Island, well, it's fun. It's kind of a dark one because it's a lot of – there are a few levels that are caves.
Yep.
With giant, like, mole characters.
And yep.
There's no lava. Oh, there might be lava, but a lot of it's, like, mud.
Right.
Like, it's muddy.
Chocolate mud.
Right.
Or chocolate lava.
And it's just, like, kind of depressing.
Yeah, I agree.
And you get through there, and then Bowser's giant head, like the cave in Aladdin, it comes out of the water, or just that's appears. After Chocolate Island, the cave comes out of the water.
Don't Bowser's you have to beat head. The ship first?
Oh, maybe you beat the ship the and then it gets unlocked. Sunken ship,
yeah.
I thought the cave came out, and then you went to the sunken ship in its mouth, but I think you're right. You go to the sunken ship and beat it, and then the cave comes out of the water. And when you do that, it takes you to World 7.
Right.
Where it's... There are tough stages, but it's funny. I don't find World 7 to be that difficult.
No, me neither.
Comparatively to other spots in the game.
Me neither.
There are a bunch of secrets you can get.
Yep.
And there's like a, you know, 7... I think it's World 7-2. There's a back door to a mini fort, which takes you to the back door of Bowser's Castle.
Which you can also get to by Star Road.
Yes. Well, the thing is, like, when you come in off... You can come in off Star Road, which will take you to the front door.
But if you go... Oh, yeah, you're right, you're right.
If you go through World 7, you can go through... I think it's either 7-1 or 7-2.
Yep.
It takes you to a mini fort, yep. Which takes you to the back door.
Right.
Which cuts Bowser's castle in half.
Correct. Because the way Bowser's castle is set up is you have a choice of doors on the first floor.
Yeah, 1 through 4.
1 through 4. You choose it, and then you get a second choice of doors, 5 through 8.
Yes.
And it brings you right to 5 through 8.
Yes. Well, no, it brings you past 8.
Oh, you're right.
Because you can do, like you were saying, you can do 1 through 4, and each path is different. And then once you get through that path, then you have 5 through 8.
Yep.
Each path is different. And then beyond that is a one more small section.
Right.
Where it's dark, and you press you hit a maroon-colored question block.
Right.
Which turns on a spotlight.
The spotlight.
And you work your way through there and then get to Bowser.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba.
Yes. And you work your way through stage 7. You get to the castle, which is Larry Koopa, which is weird because he was the first Koopa kid in Mario
right.
3. Now he's the last one. But you get to Bowser. You do the stages. And what's funny is I always used to take the same path.
Me
I would
too.
Always take – which one did you take?
I took level 3, door 3. And then I took the underwater one.
Oh, so 6.
Yeah.
What's funny is I think I always took 1 and 5.
Gotcha.
1 is the one where it's like the big pillars come down and crush you from above.
And with the bronze Bowsers that spit fire at you.
That was 3. That's 3.
The ones, the statues?
Yes.
No, because 3 is the one where you jump through the maze. 100%.
Oh.
With the wind up Bowsers.
Yes. So...
I always took that one because there was a feather in that room.
There is. And you know what's funny? I replayed this today and found that feather for the first time.
Right, because you have to, like, go up and go the wrong way. And then, like, go – you like, see that the if you take a left or something, that you can see the cement. And you're like, there's no way that that I can go anywhere, so I don't go that way. But if you go that way, there's a feather hiding
yes.
behind one of those green screens.
It's one of these things where it's like you can see through some of the stage but not all of it.
Right.
And it's multiple levels. But yeah, what I did today was I played through each, I at least tried each path.
Each door, yeah.
But I used to do 1 and 5, and 1 was the pillars that crushed you from above.
Yep.
And then 5 was the one with the spiked pillars that would come down and smash into the ground.
Right.
And then pull out, and you had to time it and run under all of them.
Right.
And today I did the one that you were talking about with the kind of poker style, almost
yeah.
casino style, like, white and green windows with the wind-up Bowsers. And
yep.
then I did, I think it's 7, where it's the Bowser statues that spit fire, and there's
gotcha.
Gold ones that jump
right, right,
toward you.
Right.
I also tried number 8, which was a room full of jumping Charge and Chucks.
Yeah.
Fuck that
fuck
to
off.
Death. I was so mad. Anyway, you get to the next part, and it takes you through this one more dark segment of the castle where... You can jump and turn on this light, which earlier, like we were talking about, there are characters in there called, in the Mario 2 booklet, they're called Ninjai or Ninji, and they're just these little black star-shaped characters with eyes and like two little red dots.
Yeah.
And they just jump up and down.
And they wiggle with their arms. They go, boop, boop.
Yeah. Broop. They're just originally from Mario 2.
Yeah.
And they were worked into this game.
That's fun.
And you get through that final section, you go through the door, and there's Bowser, like you were already talking about earlier. He's kind of flying around. You've got to take the Mecha Koopas that he drops down, kick them back up, and bonk him on the head. And he
meanwhile, the princess is popping out, going,
yes.
Help me!
It's three waves. And between every wave, she pops out and screams help and throws you a mushroom.
Yep.
And then you get the, remember that he dropped the fire? Right in a row, and you only had one space between each row,
yep.
Between each fireball to stand. And then she would throw the mushroom out.
Absolutely.
And each wave, it's three waves. The first one, he flies back and forth, and he kind of swoops back and forth and throws them out. The
yep.
second one, he flies straight back and forth and turns upside down and drops these big medicine balls on you. And then the third one, the face, he's in like this flying machine
clown
with a
car.
Clown face. On the third one, it turns angry and gets these yellow kind of Ninja Turtle
terrifying.
Eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it
bounces
instead of flying.
And in between each one, each phase, he disappears on the screen and then comes zooming back.
Yes.
And you have to avoid him there, too.
And it's a pretty tough boss. But then when you beat him, the princess comes out and you save her and you get this little fireworks show. And then you get this really cute kind of... and like this whole ending where they're doing the credits and they're showing all the enemies.
Yep.
It's like the end of a Broadway play.
All the Yoshis,
they come back, and all the eggs that you save. That's the other thing we forgot to mention. Each stage, you're saving a Yoshi egg.
Right.
From the Koopa Kids,
yep.
So you march back through the whole world while the credits roll with Mario and the princess on Yoshi's back with all the Koopa eggs, and you get back to Yoshi's house. And they all pop out.
Yep.
And then you get the end with Mario, the princess, and Luigi.
Yeah. Ugh. So good.
So good. The game is so tight. The music is excellent.
And it's infinitely replayable.
You
can know exactly what to do in every level. And it's still fun.
It's still fun. I still found it challenging. Yes, some of the stages are easy, but... also, some of the stages are difficult. It's a pain. And the thing is, you might beat the stage, but you might get most of the way to where you need to be. And then the ability you need to access the secret gets taken from you.
Right.
You might need to fly. You might need
Yoshi. Yeah.
Whatever it is. So even when you succeed, you might fail.
Right.
It's one of my favorite video games that I've ever played in my life to
yep.
this day.
Me too.
With PC gaming, 4K gaming, to this day, Super Mario World, one of my favorite things I've ever played.
Me too, man.
Ever.
Me too.
We have talked a long time about this.
Yeah.
There's stuff we didn't even touch on.
I know.
You can look up. You can scroll the screen left and right. You can duck. The animation is amazing. The colors.
So many secret levels.
Secret levels. There's the secret top secret area.
Top secret area, yep.
Which is five blocks, a Yoshi,
two mushrooms.
Flowers, and two feathers.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you have, you know, two mushrooms and then whatever. And if you have Yoshi, it's an extra life every time. You can just replay that and get extra lives. We didn't even talk about that. Like you said, infinite replayability. The music is excellent. The graphics are amazing. The fluidity, the tightness of the control. It is... a gaming masterpiece. If you're listening to this and you have Nintendo Switch and you don't have Nintendo Online, get it.
$20 a year.
$20 a year, and you can play.
And they just released a new set of games for Super Nintendo.
They did?
They added Super Punch-Out.
Oh, I love Super Punch-Out.
They just added Super Punch-Out, and they added Breath of Fire 2, I think. And I don't remember the other two.
Super Nintendo is... it's way up there.
Yeah.
Amongst my favorite... like, I like Super Nintendo more than I like Nintendo Wii. More than I like
GameCube. Yeah, me too,
GameCube.
For sure.
You know, Switch is really the only thing I think that they've ever done that trumps it for me.
Yeah. 64...
oh, 64 is way up there. Way up there.
Maybe. It depends, though, but yeah.
It's arguable, for sure. But for me, it's SNES, 64, and Switch.
Easily.
All day, every day.
Yep.
Dude. Thank you so much.
Dude.
I could talk to you about this for a much longer time. I want to ask you this. I was trying to think of, do I have a favorite level in this game? And I think that I do. And I want to know first what you think.
I do too. It's Donut Plains 1.
Donut Plains one, where you first get the cape.
Where you first get the cape, and you have that bonus coin area where you can just fly for days.
Okay.
Unencumbered by enemies.
Yes.
Because it's there to teach you how to fly.
Yes, it is. And it's an amazing... The first character on the screen is a Koopa that flies with a cape that has a flashing cape, which means if you stomp him, you get the feather.
Right.
I know exactly the stage you're talking about. I love that stage as well.
Yep.
My favorite stage in the game is, if I'm not mistaken, it's Vanilla Secret 2. So you are in Vanilla Dome.
Yep.
Right from the first stage.
You
get the secret path. You go left.
Yep.
Then instead of getting the secret path, you finish the stage and you go up through the pipe.
Yep.
Now you're on top of Vanilla Dome.
Yep.
And there are two stages in a row. The first one is basically all green shell turtles bouncing everywhere.
Right.
On a green grassland.
Right.
The second one is the stage you were discussing before we did the podcast earlier.
With the dolphins. Yeah. Right, that has the dolphins.
There's an entire stage where you're just, it's not a water stage. It's a stage where there's water at the bottom, but you can get on top of certain platforms, and there are dolphins in the stage.
That serve as moving platforms.
And there are a couple of puffer fish enemies, but that's it.
Yeah.
But what's so cool
about
it...
Don't go in the water.
Yes. What's so cool about it is if you time it just right at the end of the stage, you can hop on the dolphins, which, based on the rhythm and the timing of the way they're jumping, the pod of dolphins will just keep passing you off. So you'll never actually fall below a certain line on the screen. And they'll just keep raising you and dropping you through the coins. And you basically get to ride dolphins through to the end of the stage where the pipe is. And then you go out and cut the tape.
Yeah, it's so fun.
But for me, it's just this kind of inventive, standalone stage in a Mario game where I think it just signifies everything that Mario's about.
Yeah.
There is a challenge to it. It's inventive. It's fun. It's the only, if I'm not mistaken.
Mildly humorous.
It's like really the only stage in the game that's like that. But you also get to just, there comes this moment in the stage, unlike other parts of the game, which are really tough. And this one, you can kind of sit back and just watch it.
Yeah, right.
And it's really fun. And for me, even though I think the game is amazing, if I had to pick a favorite stage, I'd say, even though it's not even the hardest, it's pretty easy. It's probably that one, just because it's the only one like it, and it's just fun. And I think it's kind of like in Mario 2, where there's that one stage where you can get Kuribo's shoe.
Right.
Same type of a thing. If you don't know what Kuribo's shoe, it starts with a K. Look it up.
Look it up.
There's one wind-up shoe in Mario 3 you can get where you can jump in it and jump around. It's awesome. But it comes in one stage. And in this game, if I'm not mistaken, the dolphins appear once. And it's in Vanilla Secret 2.
Yeah.
They may appear somewhere else, but I think this is it.
I think you're right.
And it's one of the funnest, I think, stages in the game.
I agree.
Dude, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, man.
Is there anything else you wanted to say about this game before we go?
No.
What about Movies in the Buff? Tell me where to find us.
Movies in the Buff is everywhere on all the social media platforms. You can find us, you know, wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud. John normally does these tags, so I'm like running this off in the back of my head. But Movies in the Buff, both on Facebook and Instagram.
Please check out Movies in the Buff. And anything else you want to say?
Yes. No, nothing at all.
Brett Bolton, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, man.
Brett Bolton, everybody.
My mom told me that he would stay up and practice.